Having confidence in yourself is a rare thing. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Having confidence in yourself is a rare thing. Now, how many times in your life have you said, "I'll never do that again, I'll never do that again," after you've done something that was silly or useless or not very beneficial to you or anybody else in the world? How many times have you said that? Unfortunately, as we're growing up as kids, we're taught to say that quite often. And when we say that, our parents say, "Well, I hope not," you know. In other words, our parents taught us to lie. If our parents would say, "I'm proud of you," that's a wonderful thing not to do it again. Now, what is it that you'd like to do? What is it that instead of doing that, you do something else? What is it? Now, and don't say yes because you're lying. But were any of you ever asked that same question? Were any of you ever said, "I'll never do that again," and you say, and your parents or peers or somebody said to you, "Well, what would you do?" Now, we have one of our students, a very good student, who is in prison and been in prison for a long time. And we worked with him so carefully and so seriously on being master of himself. And he has done such a beautiful job for the last, 6 years at least. He has been without having a complaint against him, without having a 115, as they call it there. No 115s, no complaints against him, because he has been a commendable prisoner. He has been an ideal prisoner. He has worked to teach the other people about Alcoholics Anonymous and Drugs Anonymous and other things. He made himself into a church there. He became an ordained minister, and he did our coursework, and he did everything beautiful. But he had some health problems, which put him in a wheelchair. And because he was in a wheelchair, he could not really get around very well. And he was rolling back and forth to wherever he was going. And one of the fellows on the yard, who was a naughty fellow, he borrowed money from different people, and he had no ability to pay it back. And the guys were going to kill him if he didn't pay it back. So he had to find some way to escape the yard. And the best way to escape the yard is to do something bad. Well, he didn't want to do something bad where he's going to be hurt, you know. He just wanted to escape the yard. So he came up to this boy in a wheelchair, this man in a wheelchair, and he gave him a right and a left to the chin, you know. Bum, bum, you know, real rapid punches. And you know, just knocked the wind out of this prisoner. Well, this prisoner, who has been saying, "I'm a master, I'm in charge of myself, I'm in charge of my world, I'm in charge of my attitudes, I will not let somebody push my buttons, I will not let somebody irritate me, I will not," and he knew all about that guy and what he was facing and the problems. Everybody did, you know. And so the guy came up to this guy and punched him. Well, this guy is a very healthy person, basically. His legs are bad, but he's very healthy otherwise. Lifts weights and push-ups and does everything. When this guy hit him with the rabbit punch that he gave him, Joseph went, "Pow!" and got him so good that he fell flat on his back. But of course, then the guard's attention was brought to the experience. And so the fellow who did the punching was taken, you know, into custody. "What have you done? You're 115. You're done. You know, you can't do that." And they knew the other guy started it. They, you know, just knew that, even though they might not have seen it. They knew it, because Joseph isn't going to go around punching people from his wheelchair, but he's going to respond if somebody punches him, and they knew that. Now, they'll probably let him off. He's supposed to go on parole in a very short time, and they'll probably overlook it, and maybe they won't. It depends on what Joseph's attitude is. And so I told Joseph, I said, "You have no permission ever to be irritated at anybody else because you created them irritating you, and then you create yourself being irritated when they irritate you. Now, this is a test for you. After all these years of being free of any type of negative thing about you, you let somebody who you know, and you know why he's doing it, who you know is going to hit you, or did hit you, and then you let yourself be irritated to be your normal self to strike back. Because your normal self has always been, I will not let somebody hit me. Well, what am I supposed to do if somebody hits me? What do you mean what am I supposed to do with? You created them hitting you, because otherwise they wouldn't have hit you. And you created yourself as a master being tempted, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to hit back? No. Let them kill you. You're going to live for principle. I mean, you either go all the way for principle or not. Now, theoretically, our boys who go into service and fight for their country are really doing noble things, but actually they're not. Actually, they're conscripted into service, or they go into service because their buddies are going in, or they go into service because they can't get a job someplace else, or whatever the reason. But the reason is not a reason of nobility to protect the interests of my country. If it were the reasons to protect the interests of my country, then what would they do? They would re-elect different officers into the government. Because we are not our brother's keeper. We do not go around to other countries and take care of them. We may go around and share love with them, share food and money and other things with them, but we don't handle their war for them. If other countries want to have a war or want to get themselves into it, then, hey, we do what?
We put the cause in motion.
Do what?
We see peace. We are peace.
What? Ah, my goodness sakes. We put the cause in motion that there is peace. You see, that's the point. Now, we don't put the cause in motion that they win and that God helps them to win the war, you know, against the other people, that we say, God, don't help them win, you know. I mean, what a very interesting attitude to have. And your country, whatever it may have been, when it went to war, then God was on your side, even if you were bad, because it was your country. And why do the chaplains go into the war and pray with the men as they're in war, you know? What they're doing is they're praying that the men use good wisdom, good guidance, listen within, that they follow the divine, and that they think peaceful thoughts, and that they behold the enemy in peace, you know? Now, it's not an easy thing to do, and Joseph struggled very seriously with it. And he has been doing just wonderful. Now, maybe this was his wake-up, but it certainly was his creation, creating himself, being struck by someone who, no violence, no nothing, just because the guy wanted to get off the yard and he thought that this is a good little baby that he'll take their candy bar so that they'll throw him off the yard, you know, because he's a naughty, naughty boy, you know. And really, that's what it's all about. Now, when anyone does anything to you that's evil, it's you that created them doing it. Because if you are good, you cannot see them creating something evil for you. If you are beautiful, if you're a master, you cannot create a non-master acting in your world. So, if Joseph were sitting in his wheelchair, why he chooses to sit in a wheelchair is interesting too. But if Joseph is sitting in a wheelchair in a penitentiary and going through all this nonsense, and then somebody comes along and throws a glass of water in his face and or hits him or whatever, and he strikes back, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm no better than they are. I'm no better than their worst moments. I'm no better than their most evil thoughts. because I responded to it. Now, could you, if you were in Joseph's place, not hit back? What does your father say? If somebody hits you, hit them back. Kick them. Kick them in the groin. Hurt them good, you know. What a terrible thing to say. If somebody hits you, say, hey, why'd you hit me? You're such a nice guy. You're always so thoughtful and so good. Why did you hit me, you know? You're supposed to get hit me back because that's what a man does, and he hits another man back when he hits him. But no, you didn't mean to hit me. Well, I did too. I did. I aimed good too. No, you didn't mean to hit me. Why were you hitting me? You know, you're such a nice guy. I saw how you act around the girls. I saw how you act around everybody else. You're just a real friendly guy. Now, what's the problem? If there's something I can do to help you, I will. You know. Next thing you know, they're bosom buddies. And how? Why? Because one person saw only good, and the other person had to respond to that good, because the other person was good too. He just had some little bug that got him for a minute and made him unstable, and then somebody else believed in themselves and believed in him and brought peace. Yeah, it's easy for us to do that, but even little boys, you hit the other kid. You fight. Good fight, good fight. There's nothing good about a fight. And little girls, you hit her over the head, you pulled her hair, you did these naughty things to her, you know. Why? Little girls always act like, if you will, little ladies, however you want to refer to that. And little boys always act like little
gentlemen.
At least that's the way I was raised. And my mother always would say, sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but names can never hurt me. We'll never be touched by other people calling us names or thinking badly or speaking badly of us. If we maintain the dignity of who we are, we'll always be untouched. And this is what I told Joseph on the phone today, when he got me as I was at Apple store with my cellular phone. And I, you're an Apple? My goodness, my goodness. Joseph, everything is possible. I told you I would make sure you were able to get a hold of me whenever you wanted to. Now, you can. He said, I could call you anywhere in the world? I said, but remember, that's expensive. But yes, you could call me anywhere in the world. And do you think it was important for Joseph to tell me that today?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you think it's important for you to hear it and decide who you're going to let push your buttons? I love you. I love you.
I love you.